It's really good to be with you again this morning and to have the privilege of exploring together some of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to continue that this morning, and we've heard the prayer in Greek, the Lord's Prayer. We've heard it in Mandarin. We've heard it in Portuguese. And I'm going to invite Alex up, and he's going to give us a prayer in his language.
Good morning. I'm Alex. My Korean name is Yonggyu Sin. It's hard for you to pronounce, so just call me Alex. My wife and I came to Canada 4 months ago. I came here to study about the Christian worldview at the ex-seminary in Trinity Western University for 2.5 years. Here, Vancouver is a beautiful place. There is a mix of people and cultures. It's like heaven. Anyway, there are more than 200 Korean churches in Vancouver, but my wife and I wanted to go to the Canadian church from the beginning, because I want to learn and feel many things from the Canadian church while we are in Canada. So we visited 7 or 8 Canadian church in Vancouver. Hope Community was the best. Hope Community has a really good worship team and preachers and perfect coffee and bread. There are also good people. You welcomed us and treated us kindly. Thank you so much. So today is my turn to read the Bible in Korean. I will read Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13.
그러므로 너희는 이렇게 기도하라. 하늘에 계신 우리 아버지여, 이름이 거룩히 여김을 받으시오며, 나라가 임하시오며, 뜻이 하늘에서 이루어진 것 같이 땅에서도 이루어지이다. 오늘 우리에게 일용한 양식을 주시옵고, 우리가 우리에게 죄 지은 자를 사하여 준 것 같이 우리 죄를 사하여 주시옵고, 우리를 시험에 들게 하지 마시옵고, 다만 악에서 구하시옵소서. 나라와 권세와 영광이 영원히 아버지께 있사옵나이다. 아멘.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Felt like there's more words in the Korean one than in ours, but this morning I'm going to deal with the part of the prayer, give us today our daily bread, the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. One of the things that you might note right away is that Jesus shifts pronouns. Jesus' prayer shifts from, we start with yours, your name, your kingdom, your will, and we go to us. Give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. And it may appear that Jesus is changing direction, that, you know, we started off with the big stuff, you know, the will of the Father, the kingdom, and now we're going to go to the mundane and the ordinary, things like eating. Let me assure you, that's not what's happening. When we start off with what seems those really big things, your kingdom come, we may ask, where? Your will be done, where? Your name be made holy, where? And the answer is here, right here in our ordinary everyday lives. This is heaven coming down to be part of earthly realities. The kingdom comes to our very, very earthly lives. And the Father's great desire is for His will to be lived out in your ordinary day-to-day life. Give us this day our daily bread. And I need to learn to have my life tied to the Father's will and His kingdom come. God's presence enters the whole of my life, including my eating and all the needs in my life. Martin Luther, the early reformer, said in the 16th century, he asked, "What is meant by daily bread?" And he answers, "Daily bread means everything we need. Food, drink, clothing, homes, money, relationships, work, government, weather, health. Everything necessary for functioning in the world, for the preservation of life. Everything necessary for living the kingdom life. And so, yes, bread, but also wisdom and strength and patience and holiness and vision and purpose." That's all in what you say when you say, "Give us this day our daily bread," our daily needs being met. And this prayer then says this, "Give us today our daily bread." Today, because this is the day we live out the kingdom life. This is the day the Father's will is lived out in our lives. Today, I looked at a few scriptures that highlight this emphasis of today. In Jesus' very first sermon in Luke 4:21, Jesus says, "Today," and he just quoted Isaiah, "today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He talked to a small guy named Zacchaeus and a tax collector, and he went to his house for dinner, and he said this at Zacchaeus' house, "Today salvation has come to this house." Paul, in 2 Corinthians 6, says, "Now is the day of salvation." And I love this emphasis on living in the moment. The kingdom comes now. I don't know about you, but I often try to live out tomorrow today. And funny thing, and maybe you've noticed this in your own life too, it just doesn't work. And I'm not talking about planning. Some good planning is important. I mean getting mentally and emotionally invested in what's coming and thus failing to live in the daily moments. When I was on my sabbatical, one of the different kinds of prayers that I learned was a prayer that focused in on my breathing. You know, and you might say, "Well, what's that all about?" And I wondered the same thing with my spiritual director kind of guiding me down that path. But what was interesting was just focusing on my breathing and uttering the name of Jesus in that breath, I learned better to let all the distractions, because my brain goes a million miles an hour and 1,000 thoughts come with you all the time, and you're always all these distractions. And the breathing, focusing on my breathing, uttering the name of Christ, that's what I choose to do. You know, it just kept me in the moment. Because I'm so prone to not live this moment. And maybe you can relate to that. And I love that Jesus wants us to consider our daily moments. The kingdom in this moment. I think it's so important. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, I took it out of the message. I like how he wrote that. He says, "Give your entire attention to what God is doing," and I love this, "right now." So, do you believe the kingdom has come to this second? Yes. To this minute? Yes. How does that change the way you live? Right now. Right? So, you know, what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So, and we all know that, but that's part of this daily bread thing here. And part of the daily bread is learning then to live out this moment with the power of the Holy Spirit and being guided by God's Word. Matthew 4 Verse 4, Jesus, when he was tempted, he says this at one point. He said, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God," which assumes those words are part of your day-to-day existence. So I need, and I'm going to use the word need because I don't want it to sound like an option. I need to live with daily guidance. I need to be in God's Word. I need to pray. I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I need it like I need breath. That's healthy kingdom living. It focuses me to live in this moment with God with me in this moment. Because if Sid's strength is his daily bread, Sid is not going to thrive in kingdom living. I can assure you of that. The kingdom has come to me. The Father's will comes to me so that I may live life as Jesus described it in all its fullness. This is about living a lifestyle of radical dependency on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Daily. Not just weekly. We come together weekly. That's wonderful. But this day-to-day, second-by-second existence of God's presence with me all the time. That's what we're after here. When we think of daily bread in terms of food, I think it's kind of hard for us to pray that. I remember thinking that prayer, you know, thinking, wow, when's the last time I was stressing about whether I was going to have food for the day? There was greater stress about, was I going to eat too much of that daily bread? That was a bigger issue. And maybe most of us can relate to that, right? I mean, so the idea of daily bread not being around was usually not something I was stressing about. I think in a way it was easier in some sense, maybe in some parts of the world today too, but maybe for these people more in this ancient time as well, when there was no refrigeration, right? And, you know, I mean, you know, we load up our freezer with a bunch of food. We load up our fridge. We have big fridge, double wides. I mean, you know, like, you know, I remember when I was in Holland and, you know, I was always kind of puzzled that my family in Holland always shopped every day. But then it dawned on me, you got a fridge this big. Of course you shop every day. You know, one jug of milk, whoop, that's full. So, you know, I think it's that sense, you know, then you learn, oh, yeah, we better get groceries for today. Right? Almost like when we're camping or something. So this day-to-day reality, I think it's hard for us as Western people who have so much in that sense. This daily dependency, Jesus is kind of referencing a story in Exodus. I think he had it in mind in Exodus, the story in Exodus 16. We have the Israelites, let me set it up a little bit. We have the Israelites freed from slavery. They have a slave mentality. How would you not? They're wandering through the wilderness. They're heading for the promised land. And they're short of food. And they're complaining to the point now of remembering, and just picture this, of remembering, they're saying it to Moses and to God, remembering the good old days when they were slaves in Egypt and had so much food to eat. You think about that, like, what? The good old days in slavery? But that's how low they're feeling right now. And we then get this story of God sending manna. But he sends it one day at a time. And folks, remember, this lasts for 40 years. And we read in Exodus 16. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather, so this bread falls down. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer, some kind of measurement, for each person you have in your tent. And the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. And all the people, being super obedient, said, absolutely, we would never think of trying to work the system. And they, obviously, lots tried to keep the extra food. They tried to gather more, you know, and so they'd have a stockpile because isn't that how we are? Right? I'm going to build up my resource. Moses will never hear about this one, right? But the food rots. It rots, and so it didn't do any good. The beauty of it and the miracle of it, too, is then they were allowed to gather double the amount the day before the Sabbath, so they didn't have to gather on the Sabbath, because thou shalt not work that day. And God wanted to protect the sanctity of the Sabbath. So there's this beautiful thing going on, that God is pushing his people to depend on him daily. He really has the people right where they need to be, a place where they have to totally depend on God. You ever been to that place where you come to an end of yourself? Right? You know, they complained bitterly when they were in that place. You know, I'm sometimes amazed at God's patience. I sometimes picture myself being God and the people say, "Wow, man, we had it so good back in slavery." I really think, well, then that's where we're going now. And you're going to go have some fun being slaves again. And we'll talk about this. But that's not what God does. He stays patient with them. And he does send manna, bread from heaven. And they say manna, meaning, gee, what is this stuff? And God feeds his people out of the desert place because they're at an end to themselves. And as I said to you, maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been in that relational wasteland. Maybe you've been in some economic deserts, some health deserts, some spiritually empty places. And this kingdom prayer asks for our needs, our daily needs, to be met by God in God's way and in God's time. And it's daily dependence. We don't get all the results right away. You know, I think of some of the language of AA sometimes too, you know, real strong emphasis, one day at a time. Don't get ahead of yourself. Just one day, 1 hour sometime, sometimes an hour at a time. That's that emphasis of dependency. And since our deepest need ultimately is God himself, we are reminded that the Father has come right where we are. They are in a wilderness, and God shows up in the wilderness. He's in the wilderness with them. He's in your wilderness with you, with me. You know, you may wonder, well, God's everywhere? You know, I'm not so sure God goes to some of the places I go. Picture some of the worst places you might go mentally. And you might think, well, God doesn't go to those places. I have a spiritual director I meet with once a month. And he challenged me to read Psalm 139 and to try to come up with my places for the list that the psalmist has. Look at it with me, Psalm 139. He starts off this way in verse 5. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And then this question. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, well, you're there. That makes sense. If I go to make my bed in the depths, well, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, if there, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, well, surely the darkness will hide me, and you see a different emphasis here, will hide me and light will become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you, and night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And I just, you know, think of your place. You know, if I go to the land of deep depression, and then it dawns on you when you get there and you find, you're here too? What? You know, if I go to my land of self-loathing, you're there? If I go to this place of my deepest, darkest sins, the place I actually go to hide from God, and I find out he's there too. Your kingdom shows up. You can fill in the blank any way you want. If I go to, and you go ahead and fill it in, if I go there, will I find you there? And the answer is yes. Why? Because the kingdom has come, and it goes everywhere. And on a daily basis, I need to remind myself of that. I might even go to some of these places to hide from God. I might even feel hemmed in. It's almost said that. You hem me in. You're boxing me in, God. I'm not sure I like this very much. And God saying, too bad, Sid. I'm here. I'm here. In the long run, I find out it's exactly what I need him to be. You know, and then we can say with the psalmist, yes, Lord, your kingdom, your presence is even here where I am right now, each day, all the time. And even here, you long to feed me daily with your love, with your grace, with your presence. And like the Israelites, I can even try to pretend that life in my slavery was also good. And God hangs out with me until I realize I'm holding on to a lie. And he provides. And he gives me sustenance along the way. And he might give me sustenance, and I might, like the people of Israel, saying, manna, what is it? You know, what is this sustenance you're giving me? What kind of sustenance is this? I'm not sure it's the sustenance I need. God's, and then like Moses said to the people, it's the bread of the Lord given for you to eat, so eat it. And I hear God saying to me, Sid, it's the sustenance I'm giving you right now. Just shut up and eat it. Just eat it. Even if you're feeling kind of whiny and rebellious. He gives us what we truly need, even when we don't see it, even when we don't comprehend it. And yeah, the stress and the chaos of the journey through the wilderness is intense and it's hard. The people of Israel wanted to call it quits. Maybe you want to call it quits sometime too. But God's grace and God's love pushes them forward. He pushes us forward. He's right there in the hardship, in the midst of it. And in this journey of daily presence, then God shapes his children, even his whiny children. He shapes these former slaves into a people of God, into his very children. That's the story of Scripture. In a prior to their liberation, the people of Israel lived in the kingdom of Egypt. At the time, the mightiest nation on earth. An empire where they constructed storehouses for food, hoarding and competing and abusing people so the rich could get richer and the more powerful could get more powerful. Sounds somewhat familiar sometimes. And then there comes the kingdom of God right into that kingdom. And he shapes a people and a community, the most unlikely people, a bunch of slaves, and he shapes them into a people and a community. He turns these slaves into citizens of the kingdom. And they walk out of that false kingdom. And they become a people who live in the day-to-day trust of the Father's goodness and provision. We're all actually there anyway. We just act like we aren't sometime. And then we become a people who invite others to enter life into that kingdom of God. I want to remind you, when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are saying us. We say this prayer alongside all the people of God across the world, and we say it on behalf of the world. It's not only a prayer for yourself, it's a prayer for the world. One Latin American prayer said it this way, O God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give them a hunger for justice. And I think that's very true. The Lord has blessed most of us rather abundantly. But maybe we need to hunger some other things. In John 6, Jesus is called the bread of life. Look at it with me. In John 6, 35 and 46 to 50, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God, Jesus himself. Only he has seen the Father. And very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. And then this story, your ancestors ate the man in the wilderness, yet they died. Was bread. It was good for the time, but the presence of God was what they really needed. Here is the bread that's come down from heaven, that's Jesus, which anyone may eat and not die. Is it any coincidence that Jesus is born in Bethlehem? Beth means house, Lehem is bread, house of bread. Jesus comes from the house of bread. He is the bread of life. When we come to trust Jesus, he promises to satisfy our deepest needs forever because he knows our deepest need is Him. He is our Creator, our Savior, our Lord, our Provider. And you are all invited to sit at the table and receive what Christ gives Himself. We're going to have communion. Jesus was known for His eating and drinking. He had a bit of a reputation. He was accused of being a glutton. He was accused of hanging around with the wrong people. And at the heart of His gathering, and here's the beautiful thing, at the heart of His gatherings was this picture of a feast. The table, this table set, a feast. There's this image in Scripture, throughout Scripture, of great banquets. He told stories about great banquets which God prepared for His people. A vision of like the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. One of my favorite verses in the last while, because it just fits some need in my heart, is Psalm 23:5, where it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And you say, "Well, yeah, I've heard that about 1,000 times, Sid." Yeah, yeah, but you know, I have this picture of this God who wants to set a banquet out, a feast. And the table is the sign of the kingdom come. And at that table are the slaves that are freed. And they're fed in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the wilderness, when the enemies are all around them. They're having a meal. I'm blown away by that God wants to feed me in the midst of all the nonsense that I sometimes find myself in. And at this table, at this celebration, I know communion, we tend to make it kind of somber sometimes, and that's okay. But this is a celebration, and it is a celebration that includes all the wrong kind of people. So you're ideally suited to be here. And so am I. This is a feast celebrating notorious sinners, former slaves, who are now children of the Father. And He longs to nourish them daily. Give us this day, in this moment, right now, the blessing of the kingdom come. Right now. I'm going to invite you to partake, to eat and to drink. To eat the bread of life, Jesus Himself. To drink the cup that is the cup of promise, the one that says you're cleansed and you're no longer a slave. And I'm going to invite the servers to come up. And we're going to serve you the bread and the juice. And just hang on to them, and then we'll eat together in a moment.